From Spark and Anvil and DepthQuest, this is Neep in Chapter 1 of the DepthQuest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. Neep sat on a wet rock at the edge of the shore, half his shell-borrowed home tucked under a fringe of seaweed, and watched the water do the one thing he trusted most in all the world: leave exactly on time. The tide was going out. It pulled back down the beach in slow, sighing steps, uncovering a glistening world. Muscles clamped tight, a stranded starfish, a shining puddle full of trapped and irritated shrimp. Neep didn't scramble. He'd seen this 1,000 times. He simply picked his way down to the fresh, bared rocks to breakfast on what the sea had left behind, unhurried, because he knew to the minute when it would all come rushing back. A young fish flapped anxiously in a shrinking tide pool nearby. "The water's leaving," she gasped. "It's all draining away. Do something." "It's supposed to," Neep said around a mouthful of algae. "It'll be back in about 6 hours. Then it'll leave again. Then it'll come back. Twice a day, near enough, forever." He clicked his claws contentedly. "The sea keeps a beat. You could set a clock by it. Folks do. I live by it." "How do you know it comes back?" "Because the moon's still up there, isn't it?" Neep tipped a claw at the pale daytime moon hanging over the water. "That's the one doing the pulling. Where the moon is, the sea leans toward it and bulges, and that bulge sweeps around the world as the day turns. High, low, high, low." He settled deeper into the wet weed. "Same beat since long before crabs. It's the most reliable thing there is." Neep hadn't always found the beat comforting. When he was small and new to his shell, he'd wandered too far down the bared flats at low tide, poking at every wonder. And then the water came back. Not slowly, the way he tells it now. To a tiny crab, it came fast, a rising cold edge racing up the sand toward him. And he'd frozen, certain the whole sea was coming to swallow him. His little heart drummed against his shell. "It's going to cover everything. It's never going to stop." He clambered to DepthQuest at 12, arriving right at high tide, naturally, because he'd timed the trip. Marlin met him at the shoreline gate. He didn't test how fast Neep could scuttle. He asked one question: "What are the tides?" Neep didn't answer straight off. He pointed one claw at the water's edge, then held very still. And a full minute later, the next small wave reached exactly the pebble he'd pointed at. "They're the ocean breathing," he said. "The moon's gravity pulls the water toward it, so the sea heaps up in a bulge on the moon's side, and the spinning of the world sweeps that bulge past every shore. High tide, low tide, twice a day, like clockwork. The sun helps too. When they line up, you get the big tides, and when they pull sideways, you get the gentle ones." He tapped the pebble the wave had found. "It's the one part of the whole wild ocean you can predict to the minute. I'm named for the gentle tides, but I know the whole beat." Marlin looked at the pebble, wet exactly on time. "You keep the sea schedule better than my own clock," he said. "You belong here." Neep's students were often the ones the rising water scared, the ones who'd heard the seas were climbing and pictured the tide simply never turning back. One skittered into his workshop, claws clenched. "The sea's getting higher," she said, fast and tight. "The water's coming up and it's not going to stop. It's going to swallow the whole shore." Neep knew that clench. He'd frozen just like it once, small on the bared flats. "Come sit on the rock a minute," he said. "Watch the beat with me." He waded through one slow outbreath of the tide. "There. See it turn and go back out? That still happens, every day. Now, you're right that the sea's average level is creeping up over the years, slowly, and that people who study the coasts take it seriously, and coastal towns are planning for it, and that's all true, and I won't wave it away." He nodded at the retreating water. "But the daily beat still beats. The tide still turns. The change is slow and watched and being planned for, It isn't the tide forgetting how to go back out. He tapped the sand. And you can't help a shore you've already imagined underwater. She watched the water pull back down the beach, right on schedule. Her claws unclenched a little.
Later, as the tide crept back in around the workshop rock, the young crab returned with the real question. Quiet. When something feels like it's rising and rising, she said, and you're scared it won't stop, how do you not just freeze? Neep thought of the barnacled old hermit crab, and the moon, and the terror that had turned back into a rhythm. You find the beat, he said. You stop staring at the scary rising edge, and you look up at what's pulling it, and you learn its rhythm, so you know it turns. Almost everything that rises turns and goes back out. Tides do, hard days do, fear does too, mostly. He settled into the wet weed as the familiar water reached him, right on time. Once you know a thing keeps a beat, the rising stops being a monster. It's just the sea breathing, and you breathing with it. And the young crab felt the tight, rising panic in her own chest ease into something slow and steady, the deep comfort of a rhythm you can trust. In, out, the sea leaving and the sea returning, right on time, the way it always had.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to NEEP. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.